You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something.
My talent's sucking dick, so like, I mean, I get to, as long as I'm doing it in a God-honoring way, we're good,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You ever think about how different the world would be if situating and adjusting labia were just as normal as adjusting testes?
How much situating? Is there a lot of situating that needs to be done for you?
You don't have labia, so you wouldn't know,
but sometimes
you get fart bubbles stuck in there where there's like discharge that's bothering you, or especially if you have like outie, like inner labia.
Yeah.
And they need to be adjusted, or for people who wear pads during their period. The adhesive on the bottom of them can get stuck on your underwear or stuck
miserable.
To your pants.
Yeah.
Or worse, it gets stuck to your pubic hair sometimes. Yeah. There's all kinds of shady things that can happen down there that require adjustment. Or like, especially if you're not a person who has apparently Barbie labia, like most underwear manufacturers mm-hmm. think that people with vulvas ought to, that sometimes you just have a whole lip slip. And so you just have one...
And you just have to let it ride because it would be societally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or like if you wear thongs, sometimes it's like situated like just so in a way that is like uncomfortable and you would really like to just adjust it, but you can't.
I read somewhere, and that kind of reminded me of that, because I was just like, I think femme people and women like might not have been God's favorites, because it just seems like at every turn there's something uncomfortable.
Terrible that happens
to people
with uteruses.
But also then society... Being a part of society, being in society mm-hmm. also sucks.
Yeah.
For women and femme people.
Yeah.
And I read somewhere, or I saw a comment or something, I can't remember, basically saying like we're the only species on Earth that decided it costs money to live.
Yeah.
And that really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
That really stuck with me. And also I think another great... I was going to say something that's off color, but I won't.
Okay.
But I think we should address the elephant in the room,
which is that
we're enjoying the AC at our office.
Yeah.
Because we are currently without.
Yeah.
It finally happened.
Let's just level set from the beginning that I am in a mood. I'm cranky and irritable because we have been living without an AC for like a grand total of a day and a half, which is really not a long time.
It's an emergency here, though, honestly.
It is, because our house is 90 fucking degrees. For those of you who live in a place with Celsius, I just checked before the pod, that's 32 degrees Celsius. Like,
inside
it's
of our
so
home.
Fucking hot. Inside of our house. The worst part, though, is that like when it's 90 degrees outside and there's a breeze and you're standing in the shade, it's like uncomfortable, sure, but it's like doable.
90 outside is not bad.
90 degrees inside of your home when there's no air movement,
so
and there's no like reprieve. It's just like an oven in every room, and it makes, oh my God,
it makes
me so fucking angry.
We're actually choosing to film today so that we could not be in our house because
it's
so fucking hot.
Yeah, before anybody... shows up in my comments being like, we have a portable AC unit that's in the bedroom.
Thank goodness
all of
they provided
the pets, so all of the pets are congregated in our bedroom.
They are safe and
they're
fine.
Safe. The portable AC is set to 62 freaking degrees, so the pets are safe and okay. But like, I just cannot
in
our home.
The dogs
right
are the true masters of lizard time.
Yeah, they love
it's
that.
It's been so cute watching our little pup Olivia, the youngest one, learn sunbathing. Because she used to never do it, and it's funny as dogs get older. I wonder what it must feel. It must be nice, or like,
I feel like it's probably nice on their little joints and
Savannah
their little bones.
Savannah has that shit down.
Yeah.
I love my favorite is when they'll go, like, they'll be shade and you can see the sun.
Yes, the solar death ray.
And they just fucking soak that shit up.
Yeah, they'll move themselves on the patio as the sun moves to like stay in the sun. They love it.
Yeah, speaking of adjusting, I don't know, like, how much adjusting or like how much, because like normally with nuts, you can do it pretty, or like a good like wiggle of the leg, or like, you know, you can be creative, I guess, without ways of doing it. I guess it is just a lot more societally appropriate to
just reach down there and start moving stuff around. Because I could adjust my underwear like pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Especially in like a lip slip scenario, just like boop, just a quick little
boop,
scooch to the side.
Boop.
But if you catch somebody who is like, you know, if the assumption is that person doesn't have testes and you see that person adjusting in their crotch everybody's like very offended. Yes. We're pearl clutching about that, but it's apparently totally fine for if the assumption is that you do have testes for you to be wrangling all around in there, just digging around for buried treasure, I guess. I don't know.
Just patriarchy, I guess.
No, it definitely really is. Yeah. Because also the reality is that people with labia have just as much of a reason to adjust.
Absolutely. If not more, I feel like. If not, if not more.
Like, I'm not discounting how uncomfortable it probably is to have like your scrotum in the summertime, like be sweaty or be stuck to your leg or whatever.
Yeah, but everything you just described to me sounds way worse.
Well, yeah. And having like discharge in the mix makes it really quite contentious.
I wish we could live. I wish we could do like an alternate reality thing where like
men. I think this all the time.
Male assigned male at birth people had discharge infrequently, randomly.
Yeah. For a penis haver to just suddenly have things falling out of your penis with no notice.
You're going to the hospital, emergency room. Like,
I mean, like, yes, because that's not typical for that anatomy. Yes,
but in like, a world where it was.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, when like you're on your period and you'll just be talking, minding your own business, and you feel a blood clot fall out of you and you're like having a conversation with someone.
Coming out of my.
And you just have to like. Like, it's totally fine. Just all smile and wave. They'd like probably, like you didn't just give birth to a blood clot.
I feel like there'd be more holes in walls and places.
Probably,
yeah. I feel like they would have created, like, instead of pads, I feel like we'd have little cups or maybe, like, little army hats.
Ew.
You know, to, like a little cup, like a little like a little hat. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And I'm picturing like, a little strap. And I'm also realizing this could also be, like, we could like slowly find ourselves in like CBT territory. And now, just because I remember, because people always ask when they're like, why is this therapist talking about CBT?
No.
And you're like, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Please.
Not the other CBT.
Not the other CBT.
But also, too, I'm like, oh, what if they had like different outfits or whatever for. But also, too, this is back
to. Do you want an outfit for your penis?
No,
is that what
but this is also, you're not even allowed to talk because you literally told me in confidence, full fucking chest, that if you had a wang for a day, that you would be sticking that shit in all kinds of jelly, peanut butter, a fucking.
I just want to know what it feels like to have a penis and to put it in a cup of Sprite. I just want to know.
Like
I bet
elephant.
That would feel so cool. And
I have
Orbeez,
never had that desire. I already said
Orbeez, slime. I bet a cup of glue would go crazy.
I guess if you didn't have to worry about using it ever again, I guess. That would be crazy, dude.
If it was just an appendage that I had to just experience like what it was like to have that for the day, I would be putting that in all kinds of stuff just to know like what does that feel like. It's just so foreign to me, the concept of like there being a whole appendage on the outside of your body that you have to account for. Like,
even if
that's
I
not
had
my experience.
A vulva and everything, I don't know if I'd just be put. I don't know if I feel the desire to just be sticking random things.
Well, because that's different.
It is different.
Because it's almost like, have you ever wondered what it would feel like to have a tail or something?
No.
Okay. the only thing I could compare
do
to
you,
is if
do you
I mean no
you
but I'm trying
tail?
No I'm trying to think of something that's like on the outside of your body, you know.
I
like,
sometimes wonder what it'd be like if we had wings.
Sure, yeah.
Okay like, now we're talking.
That's kind of the comparison. And imagine like if you just had wings for the day, wouldn't you want to know like what does it feel like to like have wings in the rain and in the wind and in the snow, and like how do you make a snow angel with wings, and like all of these sensations that are like different, you know what I'm saying?
Talk about a snow angel.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That is, I just want to know what that feels like.
That's fair. That
it
is
just
fair.
Seems really interesting. And also, like, I feel like, especially like cis men, right? People who are born with penises and like resonate with that gender identity tend to use penises for things that are like overtly sexual in nature only. And like, to me, they're funny. Like, it's just...
It's kind of a funny appendage.
Most
it's kind
of the time, they're not erect, right?
Most,
and so like, I just would want to be... I would be
helicopter.
Flopping my little gummy worm all over. Like, I just, not in front of anybody, obviously, but just like, I'm so curious, like, what what that would
it's gonna
be
sound
like.
It's a weird question, but I wonder how big your gummy worm would be.
Probably decidedly average, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
or
like,
giant.
Like the rest of the world,
I mean,
probably.
Honestly, yeah. It'd be funny if you could try different ones and see which ones you resonated more
with. Yeah, I do think we should circle back to the fact that you suggested little army hats with straps as
no,
a solution for
that conversation.
For penises if they happen
like
to menstruate.
I'm people on dating shows and I'm going to be like, I never had that. I don't even
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that.
I
was fucked up back
then. Even though that was completely on camera, I do love the idea of a little army hat filled with blood as a receptacle for penises that menstruate.
Like, wow, what a sentence.
Because it would get everywhere. Like, that's not a realistic expectation. It would have to be like a condom.
How much are you saying would be, how much would you, we're assuming the discharge amount is the same?
Yeah.
In volume?
Well, discharge and period are not the same, obviously. And so, like, there's, I think, more period than there is discharge.
We're devolving. I am having so many off-color thoughts that I think, like, just not, like, this is the most, this is the worst. This
welcome to the pod.
Welcome to the, hi, we should, I don't know if we should unpack this anymore.
This is, we should unpack this, and maybe we should stop now.
We could pivot real quick and talk about something we have been unpacking.
Yes.
Bridgerton?
Yes.
We finished. We finished everything.
Everything that's available. By the time that this goes up, there'll be more episodes, actually, but we'll probably have finished that.
We should make some predictions now.
Okay.
Eloise is still definitely my favorite. Actually, more so now.
Yes.
I feel better about Penelope and Colin.
Agreed.
Where are you at with everybody?
I really loved Daphne and, what is his name?
Simon.
Simon, the Duke. From season one, but as time has gone on, like Kate, first of all, was like the runaway character from season two.
Kate,
Edwina too.
Kate and Antony are my favorite couple. But I will say,
I feel like you can't match the passion that Daphne and Simon had. But
I don't know though.
Kate and Antony's like enemies to lovers arc is like,
oh, it's so good.
I love it.
I love it.
I love a good enemies to lovers.
Also messy. That was a messy
end. Oh,
but it ended so good.
Can I just say though, one thing about the seasons that does irk me a little bit is that the fixation with like Regency customs was like really loud in season one.
Yeah.
Right? There was so much of you like, you can't have chaperone, you can't
you can't be out. Yes.
Right? And so like Daphne got put through the ringer.
Literally over it.
In the garden ?
Yes.
But then like Colin and Penelope are just
out and about.
Got in a carriage by themselves with
promenading
no obvious
on
chaperone
their own.
In front of hiding in a weeping willow.
Literally.
Like, and that's all totally fine.
Banging and spoilers.
Literally. Yeah.
Also,
we need to talk about the carriage scene.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
Because
tell me about it.
I've seen a lot of commentary about how the female gaze was like on full display there. And
I think,
you know, to be fair, there's no such thing really as the female gaze because everything.
Patriarchy.
Yes. Everything in the world's been corrupted by the male gaze. However,
we're getting pretty close.
Yeah. That scene was like very much. It felt like exemplary of like all the reasons why people like Bridgerton.
Someone pointed out the consent part of it too.
Subtle. There's a small pause. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Where they locked eyes and it was like an implied sort of, is this okay?
Is
and she
this
gave
okay?
him the nod.
Also
the finger thing where he adjusted her dress with his fingers like out of the way.
That's a very gentlemanly thing to do.
And just like, it's a nice touch, you know? It's like a small attention to detail that I think a lot of, like, especially cis men would not, like,
but also that seems so rude you would not, or like, why would you?
I mean, agreed.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised.
The Featheringtons, other than Penelope, trash.
I will say, who is the one, I can't,
I don't, the sisters, other sisters, the sisters.
Philippa and, I don't know.
Amelia?
No, they both start with P's. But the Featherington sister who goes inserts himself where?
Oh, I know.
That whole conversation is so funny because that is actually like a pretty obvious through line for all of the seasons, which is that the mothers do not teach their daughters anything about sex or like even procreation. I can understand not wanting to have a conversation with your kid about red hot, steamy, passionate lovemaking. Sure.
Yes.
But like, you don't even want to talk to them about like how babies are made. Like you didn't want to specify that like the spunk has to go in there. That like hello.
Also though,
what?
Francesca is the best.
Francesca is the best.
That's good. Also,
Francesca
like,
is the best, and also very autistic.
Is it? It feels that way to me. I feel
as an autistic person.
I feel like the music that Kilmartin.
Yeah. Oh. And also that moment where they're standing outside together.
In silence.
And she was like, I just needed a moment of silence. And he was like, oh, me too. Let's enjoy it together.
And just. Also,
perfect
love,
description of parallel play
love,
that I've ever
love,
seen.
Love that he comes over to the house and they go and sit in the room. And they both just look straight forward and don't say a fucking word to each other.
It's so good.
Little glances at each other, just smiling, happy, vibing.
Yes, and that's the best is that they're both cheesing the whole time.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it so much.
Oh.
I love it so much. Eloise is definitely my favorite character, though.
Whoa, you can't steal.
I'm agreeing with you.
I have good taste.
You do. And you called that the last time we talked about this.
Punk rock.
And I didn't agree with you then, but I think I do now.
No. Also, the Eloise, Penelope. Oh, it's going to get messy.
I have a tie between Violet and Eloise.
Violet is the
Lady
Violet
Bridgerton
also,
is kind of the realist.
It's also nice not seeing
a mom. Oh, and Lady
mom.
Danbury still.
I know.
Yeah.
It's nice not seeing a mom too, written like, just like a wah, 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 mm-hmm. like Charlie, like is actually like pretty in tune with the kids and stuff. And like,
yes. And also is like a
like
person.
Do, yeah. No,
you know?
Genuinely.
It's nice to not see her whole personhood reduced
yes.
to motherhood.
I also don't understand the, it's so funny, the Mondrick.
Mondrich, yeah.
Mondrich, the Lord, their son becoming.
Yes,
like, I don't understand. Like, I'd be like, I'm still going to work. My kid's not like a.
Literally.
But also too, like you just inherit this estate then.
Yeah, and all then, like, the money.
And then like, but where's the money coming from? Who is, are, is it
generations
like the
and generations of
paying
rich
tax?
People.
It's, yeah. it's just like old money shit?
Yes.
And yeah. you just wait for someone to die and fingers crossed, like
kind of.
Also,
yeah.
I love that speech though about like them being like, "Oh, what do we do with or like enjoying the money or whatever?" And they're yeah. like, "We'll do the same thing that all these other people did: is just enjoy it and not
yes.
fucking give a shit."
Yes, because like we, because the
they're like, "Oh, we didn't do anything to deserve."
Yeah, the husband
yes.
was like, "We didn't do anything to earn this yes. or something." Or the wife, I think, was the one who said it. And they were like, "Yeah, neither did any of these other people."
Yes,
like
literally,
we did the same thing to earn this money that all of the other nobles in yeah. the city did. Jack shit.
But also, like, Eloise is so on it when, like, they're so funny. They have all this money and all these things.
Yeah.
And then the queen creates these rules.
Yeah.
For them to follow and
I
be, like,
get it.
Succumb to. Like, this is just, like, the capitalism thing, too, where, like, we're just ruining and making life hard for.
The fuck of it.
For what? For
yeah.
why?
I don't like, know. Apparently, there's a lot of, like, helpful backstory in Queen Charlotte, which is the spinoff.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of people talk about how there are moments from. I mean, mostly season one and season two, because
yeah.
there's not a lot of season three.
Obviously.
That make much more sense after having watched Queen Charlotte. Because it's basically her, like, prequel
backstory.
Story of, like, how she ended up married to the king and their whole, like, you know.
Oh, it's so sad watching. I hate when they write characters with dementia. It's so hard.
It's hard.
I think that might be genuinely, like, that has to be, like, one of the worst. Because, like,
yeah.
not only, I feel like almost, like, to lose your own mind is one thing.
Yeah.
But, like, for loved ones, and like, I can't,
yes.
I literally
That's
cannot.
That's my worst nightmare.
Imagine like that would be so soul crushing. Like that scene
yeah.
where he's like asking for his their daughter.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well, and then the thing too is that she tries to like reason with him,
and
it like snaps him back into
yeah.
this like dementia place, and then he gets you know obviously upset
yeah.
and like has to be taken away or whatever. But it's just all very
would not wish that on my worst enemy.
No, because it's hard to like watch somebody that you love deteriorate, but then also
yeah.
for them to like not know who you are
yeah
and to like have to grieve that person. But then you get these moments of like lucidity where
mm-hmm.
like now it's like you can't really grieve them because they're not really gone,
but
they
like,
might
they
not
are,
come back
yeah.
but then sometimes they do, and it's like all very like snip snap
yeah.
you know,
but not in a fun
no yeah not in a funny way though
Steve Carell way.
Yeah, it's like painful and sad.
I think I'm interested to see how everything pans out with between Colin, Penelope and Eloise, because obviously Colin
I'm dreading
doesn't know
it. But also too, I've seen a lot of people with hatred towards Eloise. Saying that she is like trying to punish Penelope and that like she's just jealous and all this stuff, and like I don't think so.
But also,
I really don't think so.
Didn't we spend a whole season? Isn't that like basically Antony's and Kate's like whole shtick? Their season is like not being honest with each other, and
yes.
that like didn't
yes.
we just spend
a whole season doing that?
Yeah.
Well, and also, I don't think Eloise being angry that Lady Whistledown burned her is like unjustified.
Also, Colin was mad about it too. Like that.
Well, and I think that's the thing is that Eloise is mostly concerned about her brother getting his
yeah.
heart broken after the deed is already done,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you need to be honest with somebody about who they're marrying before
yeah.
we're legally entrapped into this situation. And I think that's a very justified, like,
also,
ask.
Penelope essentially broke up the relationship Eloise
yes.
had with the
yes.
little paper boy
yeah.
To save her own ass.
Yeah.
So, like, I would
be
take
mad
that
too.
To my grave.
Yes.
You know?
And also, Penelope broke up the relationship that Colin and Marina had, too. Granted,
oh,
that was, like, you
yeah.
know,
oh,
dishonest.
You're so right. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're so right.
But, like,
oh
if
God.
I was Eloise, I'd be like, hold on. No, no. Like, we're
yeah.
not just going to, like, run off into the sunset because you have some dues to pay,
yeah.
ma'am. Like, the other thing, too, that is annoying to me about people saying that she's just trying to punish Penelope is that if she wanted to do that, she would have. You know,
she would
like
just snitch
from the moment that the engagement happened. She'd be like, OK, I'm spilling the beans.
Yeah.
But she doesn't, I don't think, at least based on like the trailer and stuff. Yeah. It seems like there's several like hushed conversations about how Penelope needs to come clean.
Do you think Violet and Lady Danbury's brother are gonna?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hope so. And I hope that it is delightful and beautiful and passionate, because
Violet deserves that.
Violet also seems the type, honestly.
Violet does seem the type.
She seems freaky, and I love that
say
for her.
Say less.
Do you want to talk about what we're talking about today?
Is it time?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I say we should do it. I know nothing.
Okay. I think you probably do, just based on like...
I feel like I've seen headlines or something. Yeah. Or I feel...
But I don't think you're aware of the intricacies
of the
situation.
We have something to share with the class today.
Yeah. We've gotten a couple of requests, both from the folks who are in our Friday live streams. See you tomorrow, by the way, if you're watching this when it comes out. And from folks on the Discord server to talk about Harrison Butker's commencement speech.
Am I supposed to know who that is?
I had no perfect concept, and quite frankly, I still don't know who that is, and I don't know that I
care to know.
Care to after the coverage that's come out about
this. Perfect. Also, but, real quick before,
yes,
can you just share that thing about the AC companies real quick with me? Because I just feel like that's really good. Like I didn't know that. Yeah. And also, that information directly saved our ass.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a fun tidbit of information that we learned. Fun? Because our AC is fucking broken,
RIP.
Obviously, we had to call, you know, like those one of those companies that does like emergency visits and whatever. For those of you who don't know, by the way, it's like legitimately an emergency. We're not being like hyperbolic. People really die
like,
here.
You can't like, you
like if you're a landlord, especially, it's illegal to not provide your tenants with like AC.
Water and AC.
Yeah, because people die. It's really
dangerous.
It's going
to be 110
dangerous.
Degrees here in
yes.
a couple
so
days.
We called somebody pretty quickly, and in looking for a company, I was just trying to like think through like, how do I know? You know, whatever.
Yeah,
obviously,
you did such an amazing job.
Thank you. I'm really relieved. But obviously you look at reviews and whatever. But I remembered this little, I think it was a TikTok that I saw a while ago from someone who, her husband and her owned an HVAC business together. They were both like, you know, in this business.
Yeah.
And so she was just talking about how the same trend that we've seen in real estate where private equity groups are buying up large, like whole neighborhoods basically, and then renting the properties instead of letting other people fucking buy them to fucking live there.
Why would we build houses to let people live in them?
Yes. And then that silly artificially us. Drives up the cost of real estate, making it like completely unrealistic that regular people can buy homes and then live there, which further enables this problem of private equity groups who have, you know, really deep pockets to just buy up whole swaths
and
like further inflate yes the prices. So yeah, so there's a similar thing happening apparently with trade businesses.
I can, why would they not figure out a way to ruin that too?
Yes, I can only speak to the United States, obviously, because I'm not super on the up and up with how things work in other countries, but from my understanding, it's like maybe starting to happen that private equity groups are either doing this or looking into buying small mom and pop trade businesses like HVAC and plumbing and electricity and like all of that
garage
stuff
doors.
Or electricians. Yeah. So that they can own all of these companies and then artificially inflate the prices.
Yeah.
So when we were looking for an HVAC company, I specifically chose one that was like local and like owned
not
by somebody who lives here in Tucson. And like, it's still a big company, you know, it's like a company that's been around for a while, but it was like,
but like, because that they are like,
yes,
they do good work.
It was obvious on their website that it's still owned by the people who fucking live here in Tucson and whatever. So,
but you would have thought that was a hard fucking thing. Like I thought trade companies were the fucking,
yeah,
I thought we were safe.
No.
Like,
apparently not. That's like a thing.
The hard way.
So if you're able to, and that's an accessible resource to you, choosing to spend your money with trade businesses that are owned locally or like by people who live in your community. I mean, it's always a good idea to do that anyways, because all that money goes back into your local economy rather than to large corporations.
One person.
Granted, sometimes the cost of it can be more expensive, but we ended up being really lucky that the cost of this was cheaper than a big company.
Yeah.
And also that the like customer service was really, really nice.
I feel like we just bought a car.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about
Let's
move on.
Let's
get
mad at Harrison Butker
instead
of talking about how
much. And this is
something
where I can be mad at, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, because I'm in a really bad
mood
today.
Instead of talking about how much debt we're in.
I'm not in a bad mood because of the debt. I mean, that doesn't help.
But I'm in a bad mood because of the debt also.
I'm in a bad mood for other stuff. So we're just.
I kind of took in that one on the chin. I won't lie to you.
All right.
Okay. I have seen little bits and pieces of this.
I don't think I have. So I'll be going in blind.
Question: do we want to watch it at like 1.25 speed?
Absolutely.
It's 20 minutes long. So, okay, I'll let you hold it.
Oh, I'll hold it.
Cause.
Are we pausing and stopping as see fit?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. If you need a thing, you just let me know. All right. Are we ready, friends?
Let's watch this.
Let's do show and tell.
I would like to start off by congratulating all of you for successfully making it to this achievement today. I'm sure your high school graduation was not what you had imagined, and most likely, neither was your first couple years of college. By making it to this moment through all the adversity thrown your way from COVID, I hope you learned the important lessons that suffering in this life is only temporary. As a group, you witnessed firsthand how bad leaders who don't stay in their lane can have a negative impact on society. Yeah. It is through this lens that I want to take stock of how we got to where we are and where we want to go, as citizens and, yes, as Catholics. One last thing before I begin. I want to be sure to thank President Minnis and the board for their invitation to speak. When President Minnis first reached out a couple of months ago, I had originally said no. You see, last year I gave the commencement address at my alma mater, Georgia Tech, and I felt that one graduation speech was more than enough, especially for someone who isn't a professional speaker. But of course, President Minnis...
Do you think he wrote his own speech?
I sincerely doubt that it was 100% his.
Yeah.
At the very least, there were people on his staff that helped edit or revise it or whatever. Also, for important context here, this is a commencement speech that's happening at a Catholic college.
Okay, cool. That was actually my next question.
So it is a religious institution, but still.
Okay. Also, can we just talk about real quick again? Like, I saw something somewhere, or someone said, like, if you need... Also, I think people would act or not be such fucking... motherfuckers, uh-huh. If they weren't expecting to have a great life after this one. Like, I feel like they would treat people better.
Oh.
Yeah, like, yes. I think, like...
I don't disagree with that.
Generally, like, I feel like if you're, like... I feel like it gives people a pass.
Yes.
To be there fucking shit.
There's, like, a common sentiment in the atheist community that if your concept of morality is, you know, encompassed by the lens of sin, then you're not a good person. You're just a bad person on a leash. And, like, that... is very much the energy with a lot of very hyper religious people.
I had the opportunity and the privilege the other day to share beard hygiene and how dirty beards can get.
Oh,
also
yeah.
too, it's crazy because if we're talking about people not washing themselves, I definitely don't trust motherfuckers to have beards.
Yeah,
there'd be all kinds of weird stuff in there.
There are plenty of people who do take good care of their beards, but there are enough people that don't that it's like a red flag for me.
Also, this dude doesn't have any discoloration around his mouth on his beard, so this dude ain't going down on nobody.
Yeah, if that beard is not bleached, then red flag.
Red flag.
Used his gift of persuasion and spoke to the many challenges you all faced throughout the COVID fiasco and how you missed out on so many milestones the rest of us older people have taken for granted. While COVID might have played a large role throughout your formative years, it is not unique. Bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values and media, all stem from the pervasiveness of disorder. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. He has been so vocal in his support for the murder of innocent babies that I'm sure to many people, it appears that you can be both Catholic and pro-choice.
The horror.
What fucking year is it? What
I don't
year
know.
Is it? Also, because we were just watching American Secret Life of the Teenager, A Secret Life. It's you just put the words in the right order that they're supposed to be. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. But like the abortion thing is like so, like I was like,
it's we're weird.
I'm like, can someone just please tell me if you know, if you have the Secret Life of the American Teenager lore, is it a Christian? Is it supposed to be Christian?
I feel like
it has a Christian leaning show?
It seems like it is.
Fuck, man. It's so hard to watch.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh,
the way that also, everybody in the show is like so vocally anti-abortion is really off-putting.
But also too, the abortion, like any, like just if I ever hear someone say it in real life, I'm just like, shut the fuck up, shut up.
Go
because
away.
I'm tired of hearing like, oh, they just want to get abortions and kill babies. Like, also, I'm sorry, they're fucking petri babies. They're not a thing yet. They're not a thing yet until like later. And also too, that's not. No one wants to do that. No one would choose to go through that. It's tired. It's old, and it's not creative.
Yes.
Do you have anything?
No, say less. Go ahead.
He is not alone. From the man behind the COVID lockdowns to the people pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America, they all have a glaring thing in common. They are Catholic. This is an important reminder that being Catholic alone doesn't cut it. These are the sorts of things we are told in polite society to not bring up. You know, the difficult and unpleasant things. But if we are going to be men and women for this time in history, we need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never...
The Catholic Church? The Church of Nice? Catholicism?
I don't know that bitch. I don't know her, because...
The shame and humility...
No.
Is he Catholic?
Yeah, supposedly.
I've gone to Mass like 2 times, and I know you're supposed to hate yourself.
But also, can we just talk about how, like, this belief that, like, oh, we as Catholics are being too nice is, like, just so out to lunch also, because the crux of the Catholic Church, like their worship practices are like, they can be best summarized by like a very masturbatory view about death and violence and suffering. Like there is a really grotesque fixation within the Catholic Church to like visualize and like literally reenact violence and murder and like gore.
Aren't they the ones who fought a bunch of the wars?
Yeah. Someone in our Discord sent me a DM on Instagram and we were just like joking about like, you know, being ex-religious and whatever. And they sent me a reel about this person who like remembered this like practice in Catholic Church where the whole like rigmarole of like Good Friday and Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday and like, you know, Easter, the whole thing, right? All of that is like a lead up to Easter. But there's this part of the service, I think it's the Saturday before Easter, where a lot of Catholic churches will pass around like a huge fucking crucifix. And I remember doing this as a child, like all the way up until the time that I like officially left the church. There's this huge fucking like plaster crucifix with Jesus on it, who's bleeding. There's like blood painted all over this thing.
Like the, and like the scream masks that we used to have.
No, no, it's like his whole body.
And he's bleeding?
It's literally the length of like 10, 15 pews long, probably. At least it was in our church. It's a huge crucifix with like plaster Jesus on it, who has like the wounds in his sides that have blood painted on him. And you kiss his feet. You take turns walking up to the front and touching it and kissing it. It's super fucking weird. It's super weird.
Do they wipe it off after?
No. I mean, I stopped going to church like pre-pandemic, obviously. But the whole practice of it, like this is what I'm saying. It's like a fixation and a really grotesque fascination with like reenacting gore, literally.
Yeah.
Like you would put your hands on his little wounds and stuff. It was weird, dude. It's like this shy of being a cult. But the Catholic Church is the Church of Nice? Where? What church are you going to?
I was unfamiliar with that.
It's weird. It's a very odd practice. It's very off-putting. I don't know that I would characterize anything that I survived in Catholicism as nice.
Stake charity for cowardice. It is safe to say that over the past few years, I've gained quite the reputation for speaking my mind. I never envisioned myself nor wanted to have this sort of a platform. But God has given it to me, so I have no other choice but to embrace it and preach more hard truths about accepting your lane and staying in it. As members of the church founded by Jesus Christ, it is our duty and ultimately privilege to be authentically and unapologetically Catholic. Don't be mistaken, even within the church, people in polite Catholic circles will try to persuade you to remain silent. There even was an award-winning film called Silence, made by a fellow Catholic, wherein one of the main characters, a Jesuit priest, abandoned the church, and as an apostate, when he died is seen grasping a crucifix, quiet and unknown to anyone but God. As a friend of Benedictine College, His Excellency Bishop Robert Barron said in his review of the film, it was exactly what the cultural elite want to see in Christianity. Private, hidden away, and harmless.
Let's be so for real. What part of Christianity is quiet? Because they're the loudest motherfuckers.
Yes.
About every goddamn thing that ever has, ever was, and ever is.
The loudest like, minority.
Goddamn, shut up.
But also, I will die on this hill. Anyone who is a Christian or belongs to like Christian, because to me, like, let's be serious. Christianity, Catholicism, all of the Protestant religion, it's the same. It's really fucking
clear. It's all the crayons in a box.
Exactly. But the fact that our federal holidays are based around their religious holidays is enough for me. Like,
in God we trust on all of our money.
What are you fucking talking about?
You have to swear in.
Christianity.
You used to have to swear in, but for any federal office.
Yeah. Like, for so any, quiet. Any Christian who wants to talk about how, like, religion is disappearing and y'all are being persecuted, like, eat my ass. That's
shut
not true.
Up.
That's
and it's
not
clean,
real.
Too, because we wash them. That's so you're true. Welcome.
Our Catholic faith has always been countercultural. Our Lord, along with countless followers, were all put to death for their adherence.
I'm going to say it. White people want to be fucking
persecuted
oppressed
so bad.
Fucking bad.
Yeah. So bad.
Adherence to her teachings. The world around us says that we should keep our beliefs to ourselves whenever they go against the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. We fear speaking truth because now, unfortunately,
tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Congress just passed a bill restating something as basic as the biblical teaching of who killed Jesus could land you in jail. But make no mistake, before we even attempt to fix any of the issues plaguing society, we must first get our own house in order, and it starts with our leaders. The bishops and priests appointed by God as our spiritual fathers must be rightly ordered. There's not enough time today for me to list all the stories of priests and bishops misleading their flocks, but none of us can blame ignorance anymore and just blindly proclaim that that's what Father said. Because sadly, many priests we are looking to for leadership are the same ones who prioritize their hobbies or even photos with their dogs and matching outfits for the parish directory.
Really,
it's easy for us laymen and women.
Can we just talk about how this man is literally preaching from a pulpit on high about the things that priests and bishops and archbishops should be doing when his professional, his whole job is to wear teeny tiny, tidy whitey little pants, run around on a field, I think slapping the asses of other men, chasing a ball.
I think he's a kicker, so he doesn't even do that. He plays for like 30 seconds of a whole game, and like he is either he makes it or he doesn't.
Sure, yes. But like the point that I'm making is that there is literally no world where the man who makes his living in what can best be described as a thinly veiled homoerotic show for straight men to talk to each other about hobbies that they're just too afraid to talk to.
Don't forget they have playing. They get their stats and stuff too.
Yes, so exactly.
They're like D&D characters too.
Yeah, yeah. And to drink their little drinkies and have their little snackies.
And their little grills.
Yeah.
Their little grills. but little binkies.
This man is apparently qualified to speak about what the entirety of the Catholic Church should be doing.
Sure,
huh?
Sure. Whatever.
Bizarro.
Whatever.
Women, to think that in order for us to be holy, that we must be active in our parish and try to fix it. Yes, we absolutely should be involved in supporting our parishes, but we cannot be the source for our parish priests to lean on to help with their problems. Just as we look at the relationship between a father and his son, so too should we look at the relationship between a priest and his people. It would not be appropriate for me to always be looking to my son for help when it is my job as his father to lead him. St. Jose Maria Escriva states that priests are ordained to serve and should not yield to temptation to imitate lay people, but to be priests through and through. Tragically, so many priests revolve much of their happiness from the adulation they receive from their parishioners, and in searching for this, they let their guard down and become overly familiar. This undue familiarity will prove to be problematic every time, because as my teammate's girlfriend says, familiarity breeds contempt.
Pause.
St. Jose
First
Maria
of all.
Was that a Taylor Swift?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a Taylor Swift thing, which, whatever. But on top of that, I'd like to point out that we had the opportunity in this moment to draw attention to the horrific abuses of power that have taken place on behalf of the leadership in the Catholic Church.
I wasn't even ready to touch that yet, but please continue.
But instead, we're talking about how priests who are too familiar with their congregations are the problem. Huh?
Doesn't even make sense.
What? You think that priests being too much like people and not enough like priests is the reason that the Catholic Church is being led astray? Not at all the human abuses and atrocities that are happening behind closed doors and being covered up.
Huh?
Okay. No, for sure.
We must be intentional with our focus on our state in life and our own vocation. And for most of us, that's as married men and women. Still, we have so many great resources at our fingertips that it doesn't take long to find traditional and timeless teachings that haven't been ambiguously reworded for our times. Plus, there are still many good and holy priests, and it's up to us to seek them out.
Uh-huh.
The chaos of the world is unfortunately reflected in the chaos in our parishes, and sadly, in our cathedrals too. As we saw during the pandemic, too many bishops were not leaders at all. They were motivated by fear of being sued, fear of being removed, fear of being disliked. They showed by their actions, intentional or unintentional, that the sacraments don't actually matter. Because of this, countless people died alone without access to the sacraments, and it's a tragedy we must never forget. As Catholics, we can look to so many examples of heroic shepherds who gave their lives.
Is he saying they should have had churches open during?
Yeah. That's the take, apparently.
Also, love that in the same breath, we can try and blame Biden for the lockdowns and stuff, though, when, like, Trump was the one
in
that was president.
Yes.
Like, do they just forget that part?
No, they just make stuff up. It's just revisionist history. That's like their specialty. Yeah.
God forbid remembering anything.
Yeah.
Lives for their people and ultimately the church. We cannot buy into the lie that the things we experienced during COVID were appropriate. Over the centuries, there have been great wars, great famines, and yes, even great diseases. All that came with a level of lethality and danger. But in each of those examples, church leaders leaned into their vocations and ensured that their people received the sacraments. Great saints like St. Damian of Malachi, who knew the dangers of his ministry, stayed for 11 years as a spiritual leader to the leper colonies of Hawaii. His heroism is looked at today as something set apart and unique, when ideally, it should not be unique at all.
Pause.
For as a father loves his child, so a
I'd just like to bring us all back around. We started this tangent complaining and bitching and moaning about people having access to health care to terminate pregnancies that are either unviable or unwanted or for whatever reason don't need to be carried to term.
Okay.
We're bitching and moaning about the sanctity of life.
But
while also then bitching and moaning about the fact that priests wouldn't willingly engage in behavior that they knew was going to lead to unnecessary loss of life. So which is it?
Like,
which pick, is it? Do pick. We care about the sanctity of life or do we not? Because you, whatever. The thing that like really gets me like do anti-COVID it. Protection thing
yeah.
is that ultimately, first of all, it's not just about people dying. Like, especially now, what we've realized is that COVID has become like essentially a mass disabling event mm-hmm. that has like forever changed the lives of yeah. so many people. And so like, yes, there was like obviously a disgusting amount of people who died because of negligence, which is shitty, obviously, but also even people who like got COVID and yeah. like, we survived, it's fine. Like, no, it's not. Tell that to somebody who has long COVID. Tell that to somebody yeah. whose lung capacity is like permanently diminished. And like also to all of the other problematic things that we're like just now finding out
yeah.
about having long COVID and the way that it alters your body and the terrible things mm-hmm. that it can do to your health long term. But like, we don't care. Like, we as a society are just so committed to ableism that we yeah. don't fucking care. And we're just like writing it off as like a thing that's totally fine. And like, no, it's fucking not.
I think
like just because you have more money than sense and the resources to access healthcare for the rest of your life,
literally.
You don't care about regular ass people who are being disabled and having their lives and their families ruined. But mm-hmm. like, that doesn't mean that's not happening though. Like, all he's doing is admitting to being a like careless and asshole-ish person. Publicly.
Also,
like,
I'm sure he was an out doing fucking, yeah.
the sanctity of life, but also fuck you and your life and literally. Your family's lives and your quality of life too. Like, just, ooh.
I think I was just reading like Linda Ronstadt is literally mm-hmm. just like recovering from, I guess she had long COVID or something.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, I think she's just like, I.
Damn, I thought Linda Ronstadt was dead.
I thought so too. Huh. Does that make us bad people?
No.
I thought she was dead too.
There is a bug that is flying all around your microphone.
No. Try to get
I want you all to times. Know that we killed four bugs before we started filming today. The gnat situation is out of control.
I think it's because we got a lot of rain in the...
I think so, too.
It doesn't matter. The Catholics are going to be like, that's the plague falling upon you. Suck it, fucking liberals.
I say all of this not from a place of anger, as we get the leaders we deserve. But this does make me reflect on staying in my lane and focusing on my own vocation and how I can be a better father and husband uh-huh. and live in the world, but not be of it. Focusing on my vocation while praying and fasting for these men will do more for the church than me complaining about her leaders. Because there seems to be so much confusion coming from our leaders, there needs to be concrete examples for people to look to, and places like Benedictine, a little Kansas college built high on a bluff above the Missouri River, are showing the world how an ordered, Christ-centered existence is the recipe for success. You need to look no further than the examples all around this campus, where over the past 20 years, enrollment has doubled, construction and revitalization are a constant part of life, and people, the students, the faculty and staff, are thriving. This didn't happen by chance. In a deliberate movement to embrace traditional Catholic values, Benedictine has gone from just another liberal arts school with nothing to set it apart to a thriving beacon of light and a reminder to us all that when you embrace tradition, success, worldly and spiritual, so will follow. I am certain the reporters at the AP could not have imagined that their attempt to rebuke and embarrass places and people like those here at Benedictine wouldn't be met with anger, but instead met with excitement and pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost to glorify him. Reading that really article quick. Now shared all over.
Two things. I refuse to take flack about Pride Month, which is literally a
is
celebration.
That what he's
referencing to? Yes. It's literally a celebration of the uniqueness and diversity and expansiveness of the queer community. It's literally a celebration and an uplifting of the joy of people being who they are. That has nothing.
Why would that be a bad thing?
But I refuse to take flack about the sinful act of being prideful from a fucking football player. If you are so concerned with pride and with greed and with excess and with your scriptures, which, by the way, include verses about how it's easier to fit a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to mm-hmm. enter the gates of heaven, then like, what the fuck are you doing, dog? Huh?
I'm sure he's not living, living it within his means.
Let me see the inside of your apartment. Let me see the inside of your house. What kind of car do you fucking drive?
He doesn't have an apartment. He's probably
you know what rich. I mean. The point that I'm making is
yeah.
also lots of rich people have fucking apartments.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I guess it's like probably the expensive ones.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
I always picture an apartment like something
he's
we
from. He plays for Kansas City, so he probably has a disgustingly chuggy fucking McMansion.
I bet it has fucking it has animal heads in it.
Absolutely,
I guarantee
it does,
and a big leather couch.
But the point that I'm making is that me celebrating being who I am and the queer community celebrating who they are as people for 1 month out of the year
literally.
Does not hold a candle to the pride and greed of a person who plays for a fucking national football
literally.
Team. That's gross.
Also, like, my vocation. Like, bitch, what do you do here? What do you provide?
Literally nothing.
You provide a binky for grown men.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you.
Prepare yourself.
How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school. Would convert to the faith.
I just want to draw everyone's attention to the fact that this man just publicly admitted, as if it's a flex, that the only reason that he has grown or flourished as a person is because he has sucked up all of the emotional labor that he could coerce out of his wife by gaslighting her into thinking that her life and duty and role in her whole existence is to be of service to men.
She never had a chance either.
He just admitted that the only reason that he is worth anything in life is because instead of doing it on his own and being a man with integrity, being a person who cares about his own growth and cares about the relationships of the people around him and doing the work on his own accord, using his own emotions and energy, he sucked it out of his fucking wife instead.
I would put money on it. He's cheated on his wife.
Absolutely he has.
Like a sizable amount.
That's so fucking embarrassing.
Also the fake...
Literally. But just, I can't get over the way that religious men admit to the fact that they're do-nothing fucking losers. Like, it's a flex.
Like, I am so useless, but thank God I have my mommy.
I have gaslighted this grown woman into believing that it is her job to eternally parent me, a grown man, in addition to all of our children.
Yes.
By sacrificing her own well-being on the altar of family values.
Fuck.
And aren't you so proud of me? No, we're not. We're embarrassed for you.
That's not.
That's also fucking embarrassing, all these dog.
Like, hey, I know you just worked really hard at school. It was for nothing. Just get that uterus ready and be ready to pop him out.
Yeah.
So
thanks for coming to your graduation. Also, fuck you.
Yeah. Thanks for all that money you spent at our school.
Stupid.
Like, fuck you.
She's a primary educator to our children. She's the one who ensures I never let football or my business become a distraction from that of a husband and father.
I'm sure.
She's the person that knows me best at my core. And it is through our marriage that, Lord willing, we will both attain salvation. I say all of this to you because I have seen it firsthand, how much happier someone can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life.
Yeah.
Isabel's dream of having a career might not have come true, but if you asked her today if she has any regrets on her decision, she would laugh out loud without hesitation and say, heck no.
Yeah, because she's married to someone making millions of dollars for doing fuck all. And like also like, thanks you for sacrificing your life so that I could live mine and be a fucking rock star. Like,
but also, can we talk about the fact that even if she did have regrets, there's no world where her admitting that is a safe or okay thing
literally
to do. She would immediately be shamed and judged by all of the people in her immediate vicinity, I'm sure.
And in this church.
Like, in what world is her not voicing having regrets proof that she doesn't have them?
Also, like, I'm sure you guys have a really great, happy, healthy, functioning relationship while your wife's busy. Do we know how many kids he has?
No.
Probably doesn't matter. Probably is a fucking flock of them.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, rich. The emotional labor of caring for a child and an adult human being who should be self-sufficient is more than enough.
Also, what I just heard is my wife has to nag me so that I don't prioritize my business and my stuff over our family.
I have to be nagged into being a father. Okay.
Fuck.
Weird take, but whatever.
For let's be honest, there is nothing good about playing God with having children, whether that be your ideal number or the perfect time to conceive. No matter how you spin it, there is nothing natural about Catholic birth control. It is only in the past few years that I have grown encouraged to speak more boldly and directly, because as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father and as a man. To the gentleman here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity.
Totally have nothing, not totally not the guns.
Thank you.
Totally not the repressed white men who don't know how to fucking deal with their emotions.
Yeah.
Also that the man that they prop up is a fucking baby diaper wearing fuck.
Yeah. And also a, like a literal abuser.
Like, and rapist, actually. Yes. And fucking
a violent fucking felon. Yeah, danger now to society.
But yeah, like totally the man that we should prop up. Mm,
yeah.
Mm. No, that's why you feel more bold to talk.
What a beacon of manhood.
Wow.
The person who's a rapist, an abuser, a felon, a liar, a cheat, a failure.
Not as a single successful business.
That is definitely
business.
Who we should be taking our cues from about masculinity. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Fucking cunt.
Unapologetic in your masculinity. Fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something.
My talent's sucking dick, so like, I mean, I get to, as long as I'm doing it in a God-honoring way, we're good,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Fuck
tag me, teaming, you know?
That you might think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds myself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur, something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. The road ahead is bright. Things are changing, society is shifting, and people young and old are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you, should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin Mass. I've been very vocal in my love and devotion to the TLM and its necessity for our lives.
Shut
what
the
I think
fuck
gets
up.
Is that people who attend the TLM do so out of pride or preference. I can speak to my own experience.
No, they don't.
But for most people I have come across within these communities, this simply is not true. I do not attend the TLM because I think I am better than others or for the smells and bells or even for the love of Latin. I attend the TLM because I believe, just as the God of the Old Testament was pretty particular in how he wanted to be worshipped, the same holds true for us today. It is through the TLM that I encountered order and began to pursue it in my own life. Aside from the TLM itself, too many of our sacred traditions have been relegated to things of the past.
You know, it's coming up for me right now, and I'm in such a bad mood. But like, it's, religion is kind of like big pick-me energy.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely
this is, like,
it is.
Did he pick you yet, dog?
No.
This
no, he did not.
This is embarrassing.
Yes.
It's also so unserious.
Yes.
I don't believe.
Can I just tell you, too?
Tell me.
That, like, in my experience with going to Latin Mass and things like that, because this was, like, a thing, right? I've spoken about this on the pod before. I'll put the episode up here if you want to watch it. But, like, the whole Latin Mass thing, first of all, it is very much a dick-swinging contest. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. It is very much a dick-swinging contest about how our parish is better than yours. Our community is more devoted to the real religion than yours is. But also, that a good fucking amount of it, for me, it breaks into two categories of feeling like fucking cult worship. Mm-hmm. Like, these people who have, like, emotional reactions to Mass that feel scary to me. They were like scary for me to witness, especially as a child, but also the like pretty obvious intention of like keeping people awake, like the bells and smells thing, like swinging incense in people's faces and doing really loud bells. Like, I literally seen fathers in service before fucking jangle like, bells around near Nana and Tata who were sleeping because they're like offended by people not paying attention. Like, I'm sorry, it is not the sanctimonious display of like religion that you think it is. It's very performative at best.
Ugh. When in my parish, things such as Ember Days, days when we fast and pray for vocations and for our priests, are still adhered to. The TLM is so essential that I would challenge each of you to pick a place to move where it is readily available. A lot of people have complained.
What in the privileged fuck did I just hear? Hey, I know you guys just got done with college, probably have a bunch of debt, but you know, if you could just pick where you live based off your church, that would be, I think, what's best.
Do you know how we pick, like, at least back in the day when we were moving a lot, how we picked where we were going to live? If there wasn't a Taco Bell within 10 to 15 minutes, that is our house of worship.
It has to be close.
If there's not a Taco Bell nearby, fuck, I'm not living there. And that, to me, feels like a much more logical choice.
Like, also, too, like, I'm just so
stupid.
Like, everything is making me just
I know.
Worse. But, like,
this is
it's
a good
just,
day
it's,
for us
it's
to do
giving,
this.
It's giving, like, I'm just so tired of people who have, like, all the resources, plenty of, like, the rich, like, rich people just stop talking to us. Just shut
just
the fuck
shut
up.
Shut up.
Shut up. Shut
literally.
Up.
Unless you have something to add that's going to create some kind of collective good for, like, the masses
just
or you're advocating for, like, activism or something, go away. Shut the fuck
up. I don't care.
Up.
I don't care. I genuinely don't care. You,
like, you're so fucking on a different planet. I don't give a fuck
what
you think I should do or where I should move or the choices that I should be making because, like,
Also,
I'm the one who has to live in the horrors. You get to observe them.
Worry about
your
fucking selves. Worry about your. No rich people are watching this podcast, anyways. But like,
no, no,
shut the fuck up.
Obviously not. But it's just it's infuriating. The like, like what the fuck do you know?
Also, talking to a bunch of college kids, like just move.
Literally,
like half of you all probably live with your parents. So I don't know. It's a Catholic school, so maybe there's like tuition. Like I would like to think. I don't know. Don't like Mormons get like a fucking hookup?
I don't know.
But they also have to give up like tithe their fucking incomes.
Yeah.
And
no, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But the other thing about this too is him being like, well, you know me, my degree, blah, blah, blah. But like, let's not pretend that you got that degree in good faith because we
you were playing fucking football.
Yes.
Shut the fuck
going
up.
Going to college and you fucking blindly thumb
and
through the major book.
We and Tweedledum yeah, were doing your paperwork
something.
For you.
Yeah. No, I don't want to hear anything about your educational experience.
Parish or the community, but we should not sacrifice the mass for community. I prioritize the TLM even if the parish isn't beautiful, the priest isn't great, or the community isn't amazing.
Literally,
I
shut up.
I still go to the TLM because I believe the holy sacrifice of the mass is more important than anything else.
Okay, you do
I
that
say this
then.
Knowing full
go
well
off.
That when each of you rekindle your knowledge and adherence to many of the church's greatest traditions, you will see how much more colorful and alive your life can and should be. As you move on from this place and enter into the world, know that you will face many challenges. Sadly, I'm sure many of you know of the countless stories of good and active members of this community who, after graduation and moving away from the Benedictine bubble, have ended up moving in with their boyfriend or girlfriend prior to marriage. Some even leave the church
horror.
And abandon God. It is always heartbreaking to hear these stories, and there's a desire to know what happened and what went wrong. What you must remember is that life is about doing the small things well, setting yourself up for success, and surrounding yourself with people who continually push you to be the best version of you. I say this all the time, that iron sharpens iron. It's a great reminder that those closest to us should...
Yeah, my iron, I fucking suck dry. Like...
Literally. You know what the energy of this is?
The premarital, or what?
The, like, when billionaires are asked, like, oh, how did you do it? How did you turn this small business from your garage into a multi-billion dollar company? And you know what the answer is? A huge infusion of family money. A fucking,
they don't say that, though.
A huge fucking vote of confidence from somebody who's a fucking billionaire.
Also,
that's how.
TLM is long normally, right?
Yeah.
You know what can afford able to go to TLM and fucking jerk off is fucking having an income that's beyond anything any reasonable person would need for their entire fucking
also,
life.
Also, you know who can afford to be a stay-at-home mom while their husband is a singular income? Most fucking people.
But you wouldn't fucking know that.
Anyone who's being subjected to, like, the working class. Anyone who doesn't come from money. Like, the vast majority of the world, first of all, does not need your bullshit-ass fucking advice because we know that it's fucking bullshit in the first place. But second of all, that's not real. Even if that was real, that advice is from 5-10 years ago. We're living in a whole different fucking world now, dog. Go away. Ooh.
If you are dating someone who doesn't even share your faith, how do you expect that person to help you become a saint? If your friend group is filled with people who only think about what you're doing next weekend and are not willing to have those difficult conversations, how can they help sharpen you? As you prepare to enter into the workforce, it is extremely important that you actually think about the places you are moving to. Who is the bishop? What kind of parishes are there? Do they offer the TLM and have priests who embrace their priestly vocation? Cost of living must not be the only arbiter of your choices, for a life without God is not a life at all, and the cost of salvation is worth more than any career.
Oh my God.
I'm excited for the future and I pray that something I have said will resonate as you move on to the next.
You know, I would, you know, being religious could be kind of fucking cool if we didn't have capitalism fucking stepping on our necks.
Yes.
Like,
but
who
also,
can just afford this? Like, because also,
literally.
The thing they talk about, like, oh, like, don't care about that other shit. Like, cool, fine. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Make it so we can fucking exist.
Yes.
Thanks.
How about not tithing our fucking income so that we can use that to support our fucking families?
Motherfuckers.
Then? The fuck? But also, the whole thing about this, too, that is so off-putting is that if you have to try this hard to keep people from escaping your religion, it probably fucking sucks.
It probably fucking sucks.
It's giving cult tactics. If you have to so carefully contain people.
Only hang out with people who are Catholic.
Yes, you can't. You can only date people who are Catholic, only have friends who are Catholic, only live in a city where the parish is really
good.
Prominent and you're really checked in with your church and make sure you're tithing and don't do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. Why do you have to try so hard? If it's as fulfilling as you say it is, if it's as life-giving as you say it is, if it's as necessary as you say it is, why is it not more alluring? Why is the church fucking hemorrhaging? Like, hello?
Worst salesman ever.
It's just, it's so very obviously like an antiquated approach that doesn't work for most people, and we're just clinging to it for dear life.
Push that square peg in that round hole.
Well, and then they're shocked when people don't want to fucking show up for mass anymore. Like, yeah, because it fucking blows.
Also,
I don't have time to go to, even if I wanted to, I don't have a desire to be shamed and berated, first of all, but I don't have the fucking time. I don't have the man hours, my dude, to show up to confessions on Thursday and pre-mass on Saturday and fucking mass on Sunday and then volunteering once a week to make sure that I'm sharing my time, talent, and treasure. No, I'm barely surviving the horrors,
also,
sir.
You know, maybe Catholicism hit different when, like, we didn't already hate ourselves, but, like,
sure, yeah.
I don't need any help with that. No, like, I got that shit on lock. Like,
I'm, like,
I don't
actively
need Jesus.
Paying someone to undo that.
I don't need Jesus' help with that at all. I can self-hate all day long.
My parents outsourced that before Jesus really got a chance to, so we're covered. Yeah, already, we took care of that in-house.
Sorry, you're going to have to come up with another service.
Next chapter of your life. Never be afraid to profess the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, for this is the church that Jesus Christ established, through which we receive sanctifying grace. I know that my message today had a little less fluff than is expected for these speeches, but I believe that this audience and this venue is the best place to speak openly and honestly about who we are and where we all want to go.
I don't care.
Which is heaven.
We can call it for the end of that.
I really have, like, such a short tolerance for listening to...
It's just,
there's so many different,
it's like fascinating the degree to which people like that are so checked out from reality.
I wish I could just fucking have that, like just not aware, like the blinders on, like you only see your lane and you don't give a fuck about anyone else.
Yeah.
And like you learned one thing one time, you said, this is how it is. This is it.
I'm sometimes so envious of the white cis male, like, trope of being confidently wrong.
God, it's gotta feel so good. I bet it feels so good. I
it
bet it's probably better than
really freeing.
I bet it's better than sex. Like, I bet it's like
just being confidently fucking wrong.
Fuck,
all
I bet it's good.
Time.
I bet that shit feels really good. I bet it leads
it's
you to be able to do so many things that normally, like, shame and like guilt and like awareness would have, like, already crushed out of you. But
it,
like,
clearly
it just
does. That's why they're fucking terrible people, though.
Oh fuck.
That's why.
Is it? Would it be worth being a terrible person?
No, I don't think so. Because that's why they green light themselves and doing the most horrific and disgusting things and then being like, it's fine. Ugh. Like, hello? It's horrifying. I just don't. I'm glad that we got to experience that together.
Are you? Yeah, I'm glad we did it together. I wouldn't want to do anything else.
This was also the perfect day for us to do it because we're both in pissy ass moods.
I think that would have made me mad either which way.
I mean,
also,
yes.
It's just so self-righteous.
It is. It's so, like, holier than thou. The thing that is really funny to me is that people... These are the same people who, like, you know, when Gaga speaks about, like, human rights, you know, or like Adele tells people, you know, don't you mock Pride Month or whatever, that they're like, shut up, celebrities, just entertain
shut
me.
Shut up in color.
Be your little
or
jester.
Shut up and fucking dribble, whatever the fuck.
They love to say that. But when it's a celebrity that's saying religious things or that's saying ultra conservative things, then all of a sudden it's like, yes, get into politics. We have to have the hard conversations. Like, no, you just want to hear somebody, like, parrot the same bullshit that's coming out of your mouth. And it's gross and also unoriginal.
It's no, they've never said anything like it doesn't change. Like, nothing changes.
Yes.
Like,
that's
it
the
just,
thing about
it's the
it.
Same fucking tired talking.
Yes. Besides the fact that it's, like, offensive and disgusting and oppressive and misogynistic and racist and just gross, it's also fucking uninspired. You can't even show up to this probably paid or at the very least, like, you're getting something out of this engagement with something original, a little razzle dazzle. You don't want to hire someone to, like, make this speech a little bit less fucking predictable.
Also, all it amounted to was, like, not even like, hey, go and use your degrees for good. Go do stuff. Go make the Catholic Church proud. Go like do anything. He was basically like, I know you guys just worked really hard on that. Fuck that. Get to fucking.
Yeah.
Get married and keep your heads down. Shut the fuck up and go to church.
Yes.
Like, how inspiring after just spending 4 years, five years, 6 years working on a degree that you're probably really excited to hopefully go do. You're probably not actually getting to go work.
Yeah,
in order to get your degree
in. Not
now.
But still, like, it's a weird take at a college commencement to be like, fuck your degrees.
Basically, none of that matters. Jesus didn't have a degree.
Literally.
He died, no problem.
Also, the, like, oh, the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus created. No.
I don't think it is. Is it?
Jesus was Jewish.
Do they just forget that?
Yes. They make it up. They just make things up.
I don't even understand it. Like, I just...
But also, the very last institution that I'm going to take any fucking bullshit from about abiding by the religious texts and the rules and the laws and all of that stuff is the fucking Catholic Church.
Doesn't the Pope
regularly... They literally held whole conferences to cut out whole sections of the Bible. They literally held whole conferences to be like, that makes Jesus look too much like a human being. That doesn't really work for this particular Caesar. So fucking goodbye. Huh? But now we care deeply about abiding by the text, the letter of the law. Fuck off. Fuck all the fucking way off.
Mormon churches too, just pick and choose.
Yes. Yes. It's asinine and confusing. The thing that's so, so funny to me is that literally the whole reason that the Protestant religion exists, the whole reason that Protestant Christianity fucking exists is because Martin Luther, whoever the fuck, was like, wow, y'all are really shit in the bed. Like, you're giving rich people get out of jail free passes. Yeah. You're doing all kinds of weird fucky bullshit with your Catholic Church and your rules. And you're just saying, like, straight up fuck it to the scripture. So I'm going to start a religion where we abide by the rules. Yes. Of the Bible, and we actually abide by like the word of God.
Yeah.
But the Catholic Church is like, but we do it the best way. Blah, 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 blah.
Like, do y'all?
Bitch, what? You literally, your religious institution was so fucking bad at being fucking religious and being like, like being infidelitous to your fucking religion that some dude printed a whole thing and stapled all these pieces of paper onto a church door and was like, fuck you guys. You're so bad at this. I'm starting my own book club. Yours is so bad that I'm starting my own. It was a whole thing. It literally changed the course of human history as we know it. The Catholic Church was so bad at abiding by their own religion. But now I'm the asshole because I don't want to go to confession.
Also,
I'm a fucking dick because I don't want to go to church.
It just gives me daddy hit me harder. Like,
daddy God, hits me because he loves
and
me.
God
yeah.
bless for Pride Month.
Yo, I can't. I hate it here.
I fucking hate
the Catholic Church. I hate it. I'm sorry. I do.
RAC's out. This motherfucker gets to talk and tell
the worst.
The youngins. Oh, the fuck, worst. Man.
It's so irritating.
I hate it. No, I just going to be home and stew in my AC because we couldn't fucking...
We're going to go home and stew in
That bitch probably has two AC units.
Absolutely.
He doesn't give a fuck.
He definitely has
out.
The two-stage.
The two-stage, yeah, the high and the low motor.
Oh, yeah, there's no hot spots in that house.
Not a fucking
not
spot.
Not in that Chewy
no.
McMansion, no God way. Damn. No way, no how. Yeah, if you didn't know, by the way, buying an AC is a whole world of confusing
like
words and terminologies that, like, I still, quite frankly, don't understand.
And this is that time, though, too, when going no contact with your parents does suck, because I was like, it would be so nice if someone in our family knew how to do HVAC things. And my father has been doing HVAC for, like, 40 years.
But you know what? We do get discounts on tires.
We do buy tires more often.
We do get a friends and family discount on tires, so God bless. And now they sell windshield wipers.
Oh, yeah, thank God. I do get them every time I go.
I mean,
it's basically you buy windshield wipers for like 3 months, they don't get used for 9 months, and then you find out they're fucking destroyed. They're like, I'm gonna buy them again.
Yay!
Oh, fuck, man.
Oh, God.
I love capitalism.
It's so good. I love it.
So I think with that.
We should probably end with a rec or something that's a little bit uplifting.
If you haven't watched Bridgerton, honestly, I feel like if I know our audience, like I think I know.
I know that it's not everybody's cup of tea, and it's not that it's not without problems, sure. But as a person who enjoys, like, you know, romanticizing the medieval era in a D&D context, I also enjoy romanticizing, like, silly little love stories. And also, honestly, the thing that's nice about Bridgerton is that it's mostly just smut.
It's like
pretty tame, I would say, as far as TV is concerned.
It's mostly just good witty banter.
But it's, like, sexy and, like, the tension and
love
all of
outfits.
It.
The costumes are so good.
Me too. The costuming's really fun. It's just, like, a fun little silly, sexy ha-ha time, and I like it.
I started watching Solo Leveling. It's great.
Is it good?
It's great. Yeah,
nice.
It's good. First episode, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. Second episode, I was like, I'm hooked. I'm locked in. You got me.
I feel like that about a lot of shows, honestly. Okay, you know what my rec is?
I hope you tell me.
On Amazon, I have been... So if you don't know, I'm a big fan of Critical Role. I watch the live streams every Thursday night. And one of the things that people do when they come back from break is to talk about their post-break snacks and drinks.
Hmm.
And we had popcorn in the house that had been there for God only knows how long that I was popcorn. Like eating. And it was like, now I realize it was stale and probably bad and giving me a bellyache. But so we bought new popcorn.
Weird. Why is it every time I eat this food, my stomach hurts?
Yeah. But so we bought new popcorn that is not expired. And I bought this little variety pack of seasoning salts, and they're so fun. The bacon one tastes like straight up liquid smoke. Not good. Don't try that one. But the white cheddar, the cheddar jalapeno, the nacho cheddar, the ranch, all good. also good. And I bought a little variety pack on Amazon that's like all very small, little salt shaker thingies, and it's really been a fun time.
Speaking of Bridgerton, they don't have ranch.
Yeah, no, the UK...
They don't have ranch.
The UK does not have ranch,
and now apparently. I'm sad again, because they'll never know.
It makes me sad. People in the Discord joke all the time about doing a meetup and whatever, and if that does ever materialize...
Beyblades and ranch.
Trust and believe that our contributions will be Beyblades and ranch.
Beyblades and branch.
Branch, if you will.
Branch.
Branch.
A branch, like brunch, but with branch.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
All right, we're going to go. We're devolving. Thank you for watching. If you want to support the episodes, you can like them. You can subscribe.
Yes, please.
Leave us 5-star reviews and all the things. And then we will see you next week for another episode.
Hopefully we'll be a lot cooler and less heated. And yeah, I might be
less
heated.
Cranky.
We might be cranky.
That's fair.
Hey, you never know.
People, that's allowed.
I think that is allowed.
Yeah.
I like
all right.
That.
Well, we love
Your
you the most.
So great.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love you the most. We love you the most. Bye.